Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me as always, Corey Waldron. And today we're talking game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Corey, how are we?
I mean, I'm pretty good. Besides some allergies flaring up, I'm good. A tornado hit in New York, so I had an exciting prior to the game. I had some excitement happen.
Yeah, got a little storm in Connecticut as well. A lot of trees down and whatnot. Hope everything's okay for everybody. I know Cavs fans are not doing well right now. Celtics won game two, 107-94, 2-0 series lead. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can listen to all of our game recaps, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But Corey, initial thoughts about this game, you know, the Cavs losing game two in what almost felt like a must-win scenario.
Well, I mean, to start off the game, it felt like, you know, this was what we expected. You know, LeBron had 21 of the Cavaliers, 27 points in the first quarter. You know, LeBron was heavily engaged, looking for his offense, hitting pull-up threes. You know, he had that one three against Marcus Smart where he caught it, did a turnaround three. You know, he was unreal. He was hitting shots left and right. It felt like it was the game where, you know, LeBron was going to score 40 plus, have a triple double, which he did, and the Cavaliers would somehow win. And you know, he got a little banged up in the first half, and then things for Cleveland just kind of fell apart in the second half. And you know, the Celtics, you know, hats off to them once again. You know, they just kept executing. You know, it never, to me actually, it felt like even when the Cavaliers had the lead, it felt like the Celtics were in control the entire time.
Yeah, the Celtics were just hanging around. Like you said, LeBron came up with that big start. It also felt like the Cavs in general came out with more energy and effort. You know, Tristan Thompson, the starting lineup, definitely had an impact. But then, you know, LeBron caught that shoulder from Jason Tatum in the second quarter. He didn't look right after that. And then the second half, it was a completely different game. The Celtics killed them in the third quarter and then the fourth quarter. And probably almost midway through, it felt like the Cavs gave up. And it was just like a game of two halves.
Yeah, and in that third quarter, Terry Rozier, who, as you posted in the halftime notes for OTG, he had just 2 points in the first half, and I believe he finished with 16 or 18 points, so he really lit it up.
Yeah, 18 points to finish, so 16 points in the second half for Rozier. And, you know, a lot of these young guys just stepped up. Jason Tatum, you know, he had moments in this game, a lot in the first half, but he helped keep him around. And Jaylen Brown, you know, he set the tone right from the start, and I thought that was very impressive. But I want to say maybe the most impressive thing for the Celtics team is the turnover battle. They won that 15-5, only five turnovers in the whole game. And I believe they only had one turnover in the second half, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, that's huge, especially when you're a team like the Celtics, which is so, you know, well coached and you execute so well, when you're not coughing up possessions, it just makes Brad Stevens' job that much easier.
Exactly. Especially when you know offensively you're not, you know, the greatest team out there. When you protect the ball and just give yourself a lot of shots. And they also won the offensive rebounding battle, which they were losing at halftime. Tristan Thompson had an impact. Kevin Love had an impact on the boards. But that energy, and especially Marcus Smart, you know, Marcus Smart had his fingerprints all over the second half of this game.
Yeah, Marcus Smart was tremendous, man. Everyone keeps saying, pay that man that his money.
He's helping us money right now.
Yeah, he's certainly playing like you know, a ton of heart. You know, in 30 minutes, he had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals. And it's funny because it was another one of those nights where he shot 33%. But, you know, those poor shooting nights, he just, he never feels bad. You know, anytime he's struggling shooting-wise, it just never seems to have a negative impact because of all the little things he does. You know, a team high plus 21. And I, you know, I will probably mention this more, but I absolutely loved when he jumped to the aid of Al Horford after that J.R. Smith flagrant in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Marcus Smart, you know, 9 assists, 4 steals. But what were your thoughts on that play? You know, J.R. obviously frustrated. He had a terrible game. I want to say he had 0 points and always 7. Yeah, he's looking washed. Defensively, he had some okay effort in the first half, but the second half, he was garbage. But what were your thoughts on that play, pushing out Horford in the back midair? Were you surprised it wasn't a flagrant too?
I mean, yeah, I would have tossed him. There's no place in that, especially in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals nonetheless. You know, and I don't even care that's on Al Horford. If that's on anybody, you know, it's unacceptable. You know, and you know, dirty things have happened. J.R. Smith, if you remember, against the Celtics a couple of years ago, he knocked out Jay Crowder with a backhanded punch, and Jay Crowder got a concussion and ended up, you know, missing the rest of the series. And, you know, J.R. Smith is known for doing some, you know, corny shit. a part of my French. It's not right. I didn't like it, and Al Horford kind of landed funny. Obviously, nothing happened, or at least doesn't look like anything happened. But it was dirty. I don't like anytime a player leaves his feet and you're pushing on him. Some people said he didn't even push him that hard. It's not the point. If you're in the air and you're being pushed and some other force is touching you, it's going to affect your landing and all that. And it just was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, if you ever played ball, you understand, you know, getting pushed in the back mid-air, especially when you don't see the defender. You know, when you're able to kind of embrace it and, you know, get ready for it, it's okay. But Al Horford had no idea. Like you said, he could have easily potentially have torn his ACL, broke his ankle or anything. He's a big dude. He was moving very fast. And it was the surprise that they didn't, you know, eject him from the game, because it was like an obvious emotion foul where JR was just pissed off. He was playing terrible and he just shoved him in the back. And then also they didn't really mention this, but you know, JR put his hand right on Marcus Smart's face.
Yeah. And Marcus Smart, if not for Tristan Thompson grabbing him,
he would have definitely
about to, yeah, he's about to lay one in right on JR Smith's face. JR Smith walking away saying, "You ain't like that. You ain't about it." Like, J.R. Smith, I don't know who you're talking to. I feel like Marcus Smart would be the only person on the Celtics who would definitely be – well, him and Marcus Morris, those guys would definitely be down to brawl at any moment.
Yeah, and J.R., the way you played this game, you know, you really shouldn't talk at all. 0-7, 0-4 from three, and you really just killed the squad. You know, if J.R. was giving them some decent minutes, it would probably change his series, but he's been pretty terrible.
Yeah, he just it's funny because he was so lights out in the Toronto series, and that's just what J.R. Smith is. I think I've mentioned this a few times on the pod. You know, it feels like, you know, one out of every 10 games you get a J.R. Smith sighting, and it just doesn't seem like he can sustain anything. And some of the threes he's taking still, it's just there's just no shot selection, like no good shot selection. It's just if I get a shot, I'm going to take it. It's just bad.
I want to say some point in the fourth quarter, he had a play with Marcus Smart on him one-on-one, and he pulled up from three, and it was just embarrassing.
And he looks around like, where's the foul? Like, bro, you're not going to get a foul call when you've been putting up dumbass shots all night. Like, they're not going to give you a ticky-tacky foul.
Yeah, it feels like every year, you know, when he first got into the Cavs, it was like 5 out of 10 games he'd play well. Then it was 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10, 2 out of 10, and now it's about 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 20 moving forward. It's definitely been a really rough series for him. And who else on the Cavs, you know, think had a really rough – actually, what do you think was the roughest factor for the Cavs in this game? Like, in terms of offense, defense, what stuck out to you that was really just terrible?
I mean, I'm going to say offense. I know the defense was bad, but aside from LeBron James, I mean, it's really rough out there. No one can create a shot for themselves. No one can get any offense going. They obviously rely on LeBron James. We know this. It's not like it's anything new. But, I mean, George Hill was non-existent in 30-plus minutes. Rodney Hood.
He had a good first quarter, and then he just, you know, completely disappeared.
And, you know, from a guy who's watched him a good amount, that is George Hill. I'm not surprised. George Hill doesn't really look for his offense. It's one of those things where it just has to come to him. But he's not even, like, getting open for three. He's not moving a lot off ball. He just doesn't look engaged to me. He doesn't even look like he's having fun. It looks like no one on the Cavaliers is having fun, to be, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, they all look pissed off. Like they mentioned on the broadcast, a lot of eye rolls. Just, you know, the team chemistry is not there. When you're not winning, it's obviously a little bit harder. And against Toronto, it kind of was overseen because, you know, they won the games. Kyle Korver had a big first half. Then he didn't really show up in the second half. And I think for the Celtics, like, we don't want to give, you know, just say the Cavs play terrible, because the Celtics really just picked it up in the third quarter. They picked up their effort level, their physicality. You know, like I said, Jaylen Brown really came out and set the tone. They got out in transition, forced the turnovers. They really deflated the Cavs in that second half.
Yeah. I don't even know what to add to that. They were just dominant. It was one of those Warriors, you know, coming out of the third quarter. They were hitting on all cylinders. They looked like they were the team with more energy. You know, everyone was being aggressive. And for me, you know, hitting the threes, the ball movement, and Al Horford was tremendous in the second half as well.
Yeah. Quiet first half, you know, and I wouldn't want to say quiet, but he wasn't as big as he's been in this series. I think some of that was Tristan Thompson. But then in the second half, he found a way to get more involved, made a lot of plays, and he was just very active. And I think, like I said, just a lot of these guys playing with high energy, and it was just so apparent that the Celtics team is just a lot better than the Cavs. And I think going to the series, you know, it's definitely was there, but I think it's confirmed right now.
Way confirmed. You know, the Cavs have the best player, but the Celtics are just – and it's funny because, you know, people keep saying the Celtics aren't that talented of a team. Well, when you have chemistry, when you have a good coach, you have guys that believe in each other, that trust in each other, it makes your team better. You know, the X factors and the stuff that doesn't show up in the, you know, looking at a depth chart and looking at stats, that's what the Celtics have. They just have that it factor.
Yeah, they definitely do. The team chemistry is sky high. They mentioned on the broadcast as well, LeBron was, you know, giving them a lot of credit defensively for communicating. And I think just overall, like you said, I think they are talented. It's easy to look at the squad and be like, all right, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward's out. But Al Horford, obviously a very good player for a long time now, being an all-star. Terry Rozier, a young player coming into his own. And Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum looking like young stars. And Marcus Morris has obviously always been a pretty good role player. And Marcus Smart is probably one of the best role players in the NBA.
Yeah, and Marcus Morris, too, a guy who struggled in the first half, he really lit it up in the second half. Well, not lit it up, but he definitely played a bigger role in the second half.
I think one thing you appreciate about Marcus Morris, even when he's pretty bad offensively, he still puts in a lot of effort defensively, and he puts in some good energy, and he's always willing to talk. Obviously, he had that play on Tristan Thompson, was yelling in his face, and I feel like that kind of helped get the Celtics, you know, a little bit more going, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were down by one or two at that point, and I mean, if you look at how the quarter finished, that might have been not the turning point, but it might have been like the straw that broke the camel's back to a degree for the Cavs. Because it felt like after that, after Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson had their, you know, arguing going back and forth and all that, it really felt like the Celtics' run just continued and the Cavs just, you know, kind of fell apart more and more.
Who would you say was the best Celtic tonight?
You know, if I'm going by efficiency, I'm going to have to say Jaylen Brown for the fact of how in that first quarter, you know, he had 14. He was really engaged. And, you know, obviously he was the highest scorer for the team. But I'm leaning towards Al Horford, you know, but, you know, double-double, two blocks, two steals, four assists. It just felt like he did everything. He was a second best on the team with a plus 14. The one play on Kevin Love where he literally wiped his hand before putting the ball down, like
it's almost like he played him and did it on purpose. He like lulled him to sleep. He's like, all right, let me wipe my hand real quick. Then hits him with a spin move and then bang, gets the lay in.
It was filthy. Yeah, I really liked Al Horford tonight. I just think overall, and Jaylen Brown said a post game on the sideline interview with Doris Burke, you know, Al Horford's just so calm, and I definitely see that watching him. He's just always so calm, so collected. And he just has that veteran leadership, man. It goes without saying. He's won championships before in college, and he just looks like a winner to me.
Yeah, he definitely sets a positive demeanor. But I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. Like I hinted at before, the aggression he had early, setting the tone, I think his fearlessness going up against LeBron, and then also really getting things going in transition. It didn't always necessarily lead to points, but sometimes it was free throws, fouls, or it just got them set up for a mismatch. And also, Jaylen Brown's been a guy where they've gotten him a switch on George Hill or a smaller defender, and he's able to really work in the post and work down low, and that's a nice development in his game.
Yeah, for sure. You know, It's crazy, man, the development from, like, even just last year to this year. You know, he just looks so much more polished. Like, I can't believe the amount of growth he's had in 1 year.
Yeah, especially when he first came in the NBA. I remember, you know, his first couple games, he was just putting his head down, getting to the rim. And now you really see more of a polished product, somebody who's able to kind of control his athleticism a little bit. And I think Summer League really helped him as well. But I want to also give a shout out to Marcus Smart. Like I said before, all over the place, 9 assists, 4 steals. And just like he set the tone in the second half as well with the energy he played with. He was just everywhere. And like we said, his contract is definitely on the rise right now.
Yeah, the one play that Marcus Smart had that just resonates with me, he banged his knee or tweaked his knee.
End of the first half?
Yeah, with somebody. And then he you know, was like limping back and then picks off a ball to then throw it to Marcus Morris streaking for a dunk. And then, you know, like that extra effort right there, like it doesn't look like much, I guess. But to me, it's just like, you know, that's a guy who – he's not laying there crying or worried about himself. He's just still engaged in the play despite being a little banged up for a second. And I just love that.
Yeah, a lot of just winning type plays from Marcus Smart and even Al Horford as well. Any Celtics you'd like to see step up or still another pretty good game from the whole squad?
I mean, you know, even though Terry Rozier, you know, started off slow, you know, I would like to be a little bit more engaged in the first half, but I can't really complain because in the second half he picked it up. You know, maybe Greg Monroe can play a little bit better, but do I really care about Greg Monroe at this point? You know, not really. Defensively, he's just so bad.
He's slow. He's like one of the slowest NBA players, I think, in the league right now, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think he only played like 6 minutes. He's basically unplayable to a degree. And I don't know. I don't really think there's anyone I need to stay. I mean, Jason Tatum didn't shoot well tonight. You know, he shot 41%. He didn't look as aggressive. But it's tough. You know, no one on the Celtics played bad. Every single Celtic had a positive plus minus. I don't know who I would want to play better. You?
Nobody really sticks out because of the team effort. When the team plays so hard and well together and really having that burst in the second half, I'd say in the first half there's guys that didn't play great, but in the second half they bounce back. And that overall energy and effort level, like we hinted at earlier in the show, you know, they just play so hard and they force you to really beat them. And the Cavs just weren't willing to put in the effort to beat the Celtics. I think the Cavs could have won this game, but their energy level was just terrible in the second half, especially coming out in that third. They started the third quarter with a lot of miscues, I think a turnover, you know, some missed shots, and it just allowed the Celtics to really get back in the game and get their confidence cooking, and the team just took advantage.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, another thing I noticed in the second half for the Cavs is LeBron did a lot of pushing the tempo to then get the ball up the floor just to dish it off. It was just a completely different atmosphere. And, you know, Kevin Love played a lot better, I think, in the second half. Well, in the game in general. He started picking it up late. But, again, you're always looking for help, I feel like, on Cleveland. And I know people complain, well, last round no one was complaining about LeBron's help. Now it's all about, you know, things change. You know, things change rather quickly.
I think the Raptors really confused all of us. I mean, I will say personally, I think the Cavs team, I felt a lot better about them going the series, but I think it was also a lot of the Raptors just playing so bad. Like, they lost that mental battle, losing that game one at home to the Cavs in overtime, and then losing game two. It just really took them out of it. So I think everything we saw in that series, we almost have to take with a grain of salt. And I think for the Cavs, I keep getting at that energy and effort level. The first half, it was great. In the second half, it was not only bad defensively, but offensively. The movement stopped. The screen stopped. Everything was just a lot of ISO. And they were just, like, working the shot clock and not getting a lot of great shots. And it felt like, you know, you mentioned LeBron pushing the pace. He'd push the pace, and then there'd be, like, three Celtics in the paint, and you would just have to dish it out. So it's just, like, if no one's going to move around and make it easy, it's just going to – the Celtics are going to kill LeBron.
Yeah, and that, just going back to the Cavaliers from last round to this round, this is actually the Cavaliers team from the first round.
You know, yeah.
This is the team that the Pacers played. This is a team that, especially like in the fourth quarter, this is a team that looked like they had no idea what they were doing. Like, they had no answer. They had, you know, everyone was just kind of looking at LeBron to help them, and LeBron's looking at them like, hey, can you guys help me? Just no one looks locked in. It's funny, and Mark Jackson, I believe, said, you know, this is a team still trying to find themselves. Well, you know, there ain't no time to find yourself anymore.
Yeah, especially at this point in the postseason. I just think, you know, just the overall team chemistry and everything, it's almost the opposite from the Celtics side. Talking about the Cavs, any Cavalier have a good game tonight that you want to give some love to?
I mean, Kyle Korver was good in the first half.
Didn't hit a shot in the second half.
Yeah. He came off a couple screens, and one of the screens he came off in particular, you know, Marcus Smart was, I think, like, literally making contact with him almost, and he still fired up the shot. Obviously, there wasn't a foul called, but, you know, I mean, I understand it. They set screens with Kyle Korver to shoot away coming off the screen, but my Lord, if there's a guy right there, it's okay not to shoot sometimes.
Especially if it's Marcus Smart, guy known to really get under your skin. I think Kevin Love had a solid game, like you hinted at. It feels like he disappears, though, at times in the game when the Cavs really need buckets or when LeBron's off the floor. Like, they just need him to step up. 22-15 is a great game, but they really need him to get closer to 30 and keep those 15 boards too, and maybe a couple assists.
I would like to see him more aggressive. You know, he had a couple back cuts baseline in that third quarter, and it led to, like, a couple of possessions later he had a three after, and it felt like that was him coming alive, and I think he only had 4 points after that point. And it was just like, what happened? You know, you were right there, you were literally coming alive in front of us.
Yeah, all those complaints about, you know, Kevin Love needing more touches when Kyrie was there, it kind of looks stupid now because Love isn't able to step up into that huge scoring role that we're used to. And some of it is the Celtics defense, but some of it is just not having that confidence and aggression that he's had in the past. But worst Cavs tonight.
I'm going to say the worst Cav tonight's J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I think that's a clear cut.
Yeah, but between the flagrant foul and there was like a stretch, man, of like 5 or 6 defensive possessions where he either lost his guy, got beat, or just didn't know what was going on. and I believe it was in the like a late middle of the second quarter. I don't know, he's just bad. 0 for 7 shooting. You know, it's and Tyronn Lue, man, you don't have to play J.R. Smith and Jeff Green like at all times. Like,
I would play Seti over those guys right now because at least he's going to play hard.
Yeah, and you're right, he would. And when LeBron scored his first couple buckets, Chetty was the first one to, you know, jump off the bench and start clapping. He's got a ton of energy. Obviously, he's young, so I'm sure he's just happy to be where he is. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him. You know, to Jeff Green, obviously, we wanted you – I think you wanted him to play bigger minutes in this game. He did.
I wanted him to play better. I didn't care about the minutes.
Bigger and better minutes, and he did neither. Well, bigger minutes, I suppose. It's not a better effort. And then J.R. Smith, just bad. It sucks.
I mean, having in the thing for Ty Lue, and I don't want to defend him too much, but his roster just it really isn't that great. And he almost has to play Jarrett and Jeff Green a lot because it's just who they're used to. And it's just, you know, the, what they've been running with so long. And it's really hard to switch it up right now. But I think Osman obviously is the guy you might want to see more. They gave Rodney Hood some minutes in the first half. He looked okay. Second half, he looked like trash. Jordan Clarkson didn't play any minutes at all. Larry Nance saw a few minutes. He was decent the first half. Second half, not very good. It's like, LeBron obviously was very good in the first half, and he still was pretty good in the second half. I mean, for most player standards, he was amazing in the second half, but for LeBron, it wasn't. But the Cavs role players really took a step back in the second half. Where in the first half, like we mentioned, Kyle Korver really lit it up. Tristan Thompson had a nice impact. George Hill was a little bit more aggressive, but then everything changed in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, even defensively in the second half, how many times did we see someone from Boston get a wide open three?
I think that Terry Rozier three, you know, that wide open one where it's Kevin Love and LeBron just looking at him. It was at the third, I want to say late third or early fourth at some point in the game. And that there. Pretty much you could show that video and that defines the Cavs defense in the second half.
Well, and it's funny because after, like, as that shot's, you know, as that play's developing, you can see like LeBron and Love look at each other. And honestly, you know, whether Kevin Love was supposed to run out or not, LeBron wasn't guarding anyone.
Yeah, I honestly, truly, I think if they didn't communicate, like LeBron was like, Love, I have Horford, go get him. I think that's on LeBron. And I think a couple plays were on LeBron where he wasn't really putting the defensive effort himself. And some of that is, you know, he's asked to do so much offensively. And I think Boston's done a good job of gassing him out. Like, it's hard. And we saw this in the Warriors against the Warriors in the finals where he'd put a lot of effort to score in the first quarter. Then come the second half, he'd run out of gas. He, you know, we always say he's superhuman and whatnot, but at the end of the day, he's still, you know, a man.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, a few times you started to notice in the fourth quarter in particular, for example, the one play where Jaylen Brown, he caught a hard screen from Kevin Love and he was laying on the ground. He ended up getting like a cherry picking. You know, he was not cherry picking, but he was down there still.
He recovered really fast from that headshot.
Yeah. And then Kevin, you know, he drew a foul on Kevin Love. But, you know, I mean, maybe LeBron just saw him, but LeBron made, you know, that was one of the plays where LeBron made no effort to even move. You know, he just stood there underneath the basket. And he did that several times in the fourth quarter. You know, whenever the Celtics got on the fast break at times, actually, it felt like after Terry Rozier had that one dunk where LeBron was chasing him, he stopped giving effort on those kind of fast breaks defensively.
Yeah, it was tough. And like I said, the energy and effort level was huge in the first half and second half. You know, the Cavs were matching the Celtics. And in the second half, the Celtics just took it to another level. I also think Boston missed a couple open shots in the first half where the Cavs kind of got away with it. In the second half, they took advantage and they missed some of those shots too. But then they had guys like Marcus Smart just getting some of these pesky extra possessions.
A lot of extra possessions.
Yeah.
Even though like the ones that weren't steals, you know, he still called, I think, one or two turnovers just by, you know, defensively impacting a guy.
Yeah, or, you know, sometimes it's not, I guess I'm making up a term right now, but it's almost like a hockey turnover where he's forcing, you know, somebody else to pass the ball and then they're in a bad situation and the next guy gets the steal or something like that. So definitely had their impact on the game. But adjustments for game two for the Cavs. I mean, for game three for the Cavs.
For the Cavs, I mean, LeBron's got to be the same, right? I mean, it is crazy. A 42-point triple-double wasn't enough.
It wasn't even close to enough either.
I want to say this though. I was close. I said he was going to have 45 points. I was only three off. Got to toot my own horn. But
and we said triple double last show as well.
Yeah, we did. So I mean, I think he's got. I think you're right. You hinted at it before. Kevin Love's got to be big. You know, Kevin Love needs to score 30 at home. Like I don't know if they can feel something from the Cleveland fans. You know, LeBron's got to have. you know, 35 plus, but close to a triple double again. And Kevin Love, you know, he needs to be. I just want to see what we saw from last series. You know, Kevin Love was a force last series. And that's the Kevin Love they need. You know, and obviously you can go down the list of like, well, if, you know, J.R. Smith hits one or two threes, and if Korver doesn't go ice cold in the second half, and if Jeff Green gets low, like, yeah, there's an assortment of players on this Cavs team that needs to play better, without question. But I think for the Cavaliers' standpoint, it's just ball movement and guys just moving. How many times did you see a Cavalier when they didn't have the ball just standing in their position, letting LeBron dribble or try and make a move? The Cavaliers don't even move when they don't have the ball in their hands.
Yeah, especially in the second half. I felt like in the first quarter they did a good job of starting and running some sets and running some plays, some off-ball movement. But in the second half, it just completely stopped. And I think one stat that really defines a series is you have the Celtics and they have six guys in double figures. And then you look at the Cavs. They have three guys in double figures, one of them being LeBron with 42, Kevin Love with 22, and then Korver with 11. Other than that, nobody else is even close. I think what? They had Tristan Thompson with 8. So yeah. It's just like one team versus, you know, LeBron and then all-star. And, you know, Kevin Love's kind of playing like an all-star, but not to his fullest capability.
And Korver had 11 in the first half, and I believe Tristan Thompson had 6 in the first half.
Sounds right, because I want to say most of them came in a tip, and the only time I remember him scoring in the second half was on a tip play.
Yeah, I believe that was his only buck. I can't remember any other play besides one tip in the second half where Tristan Thompson even had the ball offensively.
But I think for me, adjustment-wise for the Cavs, I mean, schematically, there's a lot of things they can change scheme-wise, but a lot of it is just effort and energy and being fully engaged for 48 minutes, and they have not done that. And even probably you could argue in the Raptors series that they maybe didn't do that, but they got away with it because the Raptors were just so, you know, scared of the Cavaliers and LeBron.
Yeah, unfortunately, LeBron can't put a mental hold on this young Celtics team.
And that's thanks to, you know, Al Horford and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart having these guys with that fearless type attitude that just make winning plays. Like, I think Jaylen Brown said after the game, you know, we're not scared, we're fearless, we're ready to go at anybody. And I think that's really been what's defined this series right now. Any adjustments for the Boston side?
No, not really. I mean, what am I going to, like, you know, shoot a little bit better, guys. Don't, you know, be a little bit more effective with your jump shots. I think they did a good job. I know obviously they didn't lock down LeBron like they did in game one. But like you mentioned, they did a good job tiring him out. You know, letting LeBron go berserk in the first quarter, in the first half, I mean, basically for 18 minutes in the first half, he was crazy. Just let him go crazy. Let him get his and slow down everybody else. It's what the Pacers did. And tonight we saw that's what the Celtics did tonight too. They let LeBron beat them, but they took everyone else out. And that's how you beat this Cavs team.
And then you look at it, they had LeBron at 16 of 29, and you could probably argue he hit at least 6 shots where the Celtics will live with it. You know, that one we mentioned the first quarter over Marcus Smart, that fading away 3, he hit a really tough teardrop over Aaron Baines. There was a couple shots where it's just like, all right, you know, if he's going to hit that shot, oh, well, there's not really much we can do. So on the Celtics side, I think just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, the only thing I'd probably say is in the first half, they got a little bit passive in terms of attacking the rim. Just make sure you stay aggressive attacking the rim, because the Cavs have proven they really can't do anything in the paint.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you set me up for this. I saw at least 4 or 5 occasions where Jason Tatum drove one time, Jaylen Brown drove 2 times, and Marcus Smart drove 1 time. And every time they got into the paint, they were surrounded by 4 Cavaliers. And each one of those layups all went in.
That's what happens when you play a lot of bad defenders or just guys that aren't as athletic. You know, it's just tough, especially when you have a young athletic squad like Boston.
And I guess I'm just different, I suppose. But like, if I was one of the Cavaliers defenders, and I'm watching this guy, you know, the minute he enters the paint, and I notice I got 3 of my teammates around me, and this guy is driving me to the hole, maybe I'm different. I'm gonna foul him. Why am I going to let him just go through 4 of my defenders for an easy layup without even letting him be touched? I don't know. The mentality in Cleveland, defensively, is just so backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have 4 guys, you should be able to play defense without fouling. You should be in better position and not allowing him
ideally,
to get to the
right. Rim. Ideally, someone would play defense in the 4.
Yeah, like I think the problem is sometimes is they just stand still and the guy just goes around them. We've seen that a lot in this series where, you know, they try to get the charge or, you know, just stand there verticality with their arms up instead of actually just playing defense and maybe fouling. It's like they just don't want to put in the full effort defensively.
Yeah, I saw Tatum did that in particular. He drove around, I believe it was George Hill, and he split it with somebody else, and then went in between Love and LeBron, and it was just like, all right.
And if you look at the roster, there's just really not many guys that can block shots. I mean, you look at LeBron, and obviously he can do it, but it's not like he's going to do it for 48 minutes. So, shot blocker, we knew this was an issue going to the playoffs for the Cavs. Their roster was in question. And I think the fact a lot of the young guys have just been pretty bad. Like, they start a lot after the trade deadline. Like, you saw guys like Clarkson, Nance, Hood play well. Now they've just been bad.
I don't want to see any Larry Nance.
Yeah, it's just a rough series for the Cavs, and I think some of it is like their roster just really isn't that great, and come playoff wise, it's getting exposed more and more deeper in the playoffs.
It's getting exposed more and more, and the book the ticket out of Cleveland is coming closer and closer for somebody.
Well, talking about that, obviously, like our opinions of the Celtics have very changed. I know going to the postseason, you weren't super high on them, and now we're looking at them in the Eastern Conference Finals with a 2-0 lead. Do you think that they could possibly win the series now?
I luckily I picked Cavs in 7. You picked Cavs in 6.
Five or six, but whatever. Yeah, I don't feel good about any type of Cavs series right now.
Yeah, I mean I still say Cavs in 7, so I'm not, and I did say I believe the Celtics are gonna have a 3-2 lead. So this I'm not completely out of, I'm not completely uncomfortable yet, because I kind of figured the Celtics would take care of home advantage. They're now 9-0 at home,
Yep.
so they have yet to lose at a post game at home.
It feels
But
like Milwaukee was almost giving them the most shots at home.
it's I'm definitely concerned. I think the Celtics have again, it seems like every round we're saying the Celtics, they're undermanned, they're banged up, they can't do it, and they continue to play winning basketball. They definitely have the advantage in this series right now, and as of right now, I think, obviously I still I'm sticking with my pick. I'm not gonna flip flop on this one, but the Celtics, as of right now, they can win this series possibly in 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real possibility. I think LeBron will never get swept, in this series, but I could see the Celtics winning this in five or six. Like, going to the series, I really didn't think the Celtics would be able to win unless it was seven. But right now, they're just such a better overall team, and the Cavaliers just don't seem that interested, and they're not playing that hard. Like, I've seen probably games in like the middle of February and March where teams are playing with way more effort than we saw from the Cavaliers in the third and fourth quarter.
It was sad. It was sad effort for an Eastern Conference Finals game, if anything. I understand, like you mentioned, teams definitely have played harder when the games mean less than the Cavs did tonight in a game that literally means almost everything. And it was bad. It was sad. We mentioned this off the pod. Do you think LeBron James is more hurt from that shoulder to his face than he, at least that what he showed in that third and fourth quarter?
It's really tough to say, to be honest. He could have possibly been concussed and came back in the game. I don't think fully he was, but I think the injury did bother him. And then the fact that he was gassed, like everybody knows this, when you're hurt and then you're also really tired, it just makes everything worse. And I felt like that was the case for LeBron because he was just so much more passive in the second half, a lot more jump shots, and also a lot of lazy passes where he just really made stupid passes. And that's not something we're used to seeing.
Oh, the one in the fourth quarter where Kyle Korver was cutting to the basket, and I believe it was Al Horford and Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris. It was one of the Marcuses, and they were both like trailing Korver, who was cutting, and they stole the pass. But it was one of those passes where it's like, why are you forcing that? Especially to a cutting Kyle Korver, who's not, the quickest of guys.
Yeah, it's just not a great thing for LeBron. It's really hard to hate on him though, with 42 points and 10 rebounds and 12 assists, but it's almost like he needs to do more, and it's really hard to ask him to do any more, especially at this age. I think it's easy to forget. We always talk about LeBron never really dealing with father time, but it catches up to everybody a little bit. And I think all the work he's had to put in the postseason, it's hard for him to recover fully. The amount of work he had to put in the first round alone really probably took a number on him.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's adding up.
And all the postseasons, all the final appearances, people forget. It's like I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but I know he's played a couple extra seasons just with all the playoff runs. He's approaching playing the most career playoff games ever, passing Derek Fisher. So it's like, and he's only 33 years old. So
he's done a tremendous job keeping his body in the shape he has. Obviously, you know, they put out that report, I think it was two off seasons ago or last year. He spends like over $1 million every off season on his body to keep it fresh.
Which isn't even surprising, to be honest.
No, of course. With like modern day technology and health and all that, like if you can do it and you have the money to do it, like by all means do it. And obviously it pays off because LeBron, you know, I've never seen him, you know, more hurt than wearing like a back brace during a game.
Yeah. But any predictions for game three? What do you expect to see?
Oh, man, I'm going to say the Cavs win. I'm hoping that maybe they have a nice conversation on the flight back to Cleveland. And LeBron James rests up a little bit, and then we see LeBron James go, you know, possibly for another game winner. The one thing I can't say is the Cavs have yet to score over 100 points in this series. The Cavaliers have not lost a playoff game when they've scored over 100 points. So the goal for Cleveland is to score over 100.
Yeah, I believe in the second half they didn't even score 40 points. So they really need to turn it up. You know, it's just like hoping that the home crowd can kind of get their energy and effort level up. I guess I don't even really want to pick the Cavs, but I feel like I'm obligated to. So I'm going to go with the Cavs in game three. I feel like just somebody's going to step up and play harder, and maybe some random guy off the bench is just going to play big.
So what I can say is, to your point just now, the one good thing about the next game being in Cleveland, and you mentioned those role players generally play better at home. So hopefully, maybe that is something that Cleveland and the Cavaliers can have some hope for, is that guys like J.R. Smith, you know, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Jeff Green, those guys tend to play a little bit better at home. So maybe, you know, it sparks up a little bit something for them. But it, like you said, somebody's got to step up.
They need J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, and Jeff Green to combine for over 30 points. You know, I think they need some, you know, 10
from each guy. For a lot.
Exactly. It's not. And that's all they need.
It's three threes each. There you go. You got nine each.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, take advantage of your opportunities, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. And it's just, it's like deflating. I was like excited in the first half because it looked like it was really going to be a close game. And then in the third quarter, the Celtics just came in. And then the fourth quarter, the Cavs just gave up. And it's just so disappointing to see in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that's for another day. As always, thank you for hopping on, Corey. Thank everybody for listening. You can catch all of our recaps for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play.
Peace.